she starts telling me about it, and it turns out her husband is the last Prisoner Project guy in New Jersey.
No.
He's in jail in New Jersey, 2 to 7, for 5 pounds of cannabis in his trunk, nonviolent, the whole thing. And I don't know boo about any of this,
right.
But I say to Brooke, I'm going to get your husband out of jail. Right? Just right there. And I don't know. I'm not really a criminal attorney. I don't really know anything about anything.
Right.
I like,
well,
I'm
maybe
gonna
you
get
a break about.
I'm going to get your husband out of jail.
We are back with another episode of Meet Us Shackled. Dimitri Downey here with co-host
Maxi Lash from Dope SEO.
And we're going to get a little more in depth with a gentleman that I respectfully refer to as Mr. Hoffman, because he is the number one go-to guy for information in the New York cannabis regulatory licensing market structure supply chain world. And he's also the legal expert. You are like the Dr. No of New York cannabis.
I'm just having a good time, my friend. I've been waiting for this all my life. Not going to miss it.
What were you doing before?
I was a hot dog king in New York City.
Okay.
If you know, did you come to the city before COVID hit?
Yeah.
Yes.
You remember all those bright yellow Nathan's Famous hot dog carts that were all over the city?
That was you?
So I was a partner in that business, yeah. Oh. I did the deal with Nathan's.
Brilliant.
And then did the deal with all the Egyptians that own the corners all over the city.
Brilliant.
So that was the deal we did.
Wow. So how many hot dog carts were there?
There were 60 Nathan's. There were a bunch of Le Pen Quotidiennes, and literally right before COVID hit, we did the deal with Dunkin' Donuts.
So
yikes. Yikes. You want me to show you a Dunkin' card? I'll show you a Dunkin' card.
So are you got, well, maybe we can use them.
No,
in
I'll
Mexico.
Show you a picture. I mean, we don't have any. I'll show you a picture. Keep talking. I can I'll show you while we're talking.
We can use them down in Mexico somewhere. Yeah, so Max, you don't know who Mr. Hoffman is.
I introduced Mr. Hoffman.
He totally
to you
knows who I am.
Yeah.
Oh, does,
yeah,
you
no,
follow
we,
him?
We actually, huh?
You follow him on LinkedIn?
Yeah,
stuff?
I follow him on LinkedIn. We met randomly in an alley a couple months ago at MJ Unpacked when we were walking from one building to the other building.
You
I recognized him from LinkedIn. I was like, dude, you're the attorney. And
go.
Yeah, we're like walking through the.
That was right before COVID.
Sick.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
So what happened to all those things?
So some of them are still around the city. I mean, the whole premise of that business was doing mobile food and doing advertising in dense urban areas. And COVID kind of killed that because none of the offers were like, if you're a food cart in New York City, mm-hmm. you have two primary customers. Number two is the tourists.
Mm-hmm.
They all came back. Unfortunately, number one is the office workers within a 5-block radius of the cart.
Right.
They never
came
back.
They're not going outside.
And so.
Yeah, because Uber Eats and everything else.
And well, just not that. Just they're working at home.
No, they're working at home now. Yeah, that
yeah,
too.
That's
so they're
the
not
problem.
Going to work. So they're
exactly.
not walking outside
and
to get their hot dog.
Actually, out of COVID, normally in New York City, food cart season is like April through January.
Mm-hmm.
Through the beginning of January, through New Year's. And then for January, February, and most of March, right now the industry is mostly controlled by Egyptians. And all the Egyptians would go back to Egypt during the most cold months.
Okay.
Over those COVID months, half of them never came back.
Right.
So just the business just, you know, you couldn't, the carts couldn't be profitable in the less desirable locations. So
yep.
What are you going to do?
And now you know, but you had the chance to enter the cannabis space. When did you first start the cannabis attorney stuff?
So I've been doing cannabis attorney stuff for a long time. You couldn't really pay rent and buy food unless you wanted to be a hardcore criminal attorney.
Right.
Until recently. I mean, I actually thought about moving to Colorado when they legalized, but I didn't. And so I just stayed here waiting for New York to do it. And we all, you know, everybody thinks New York is such a liberal state. But for most of my lifetime, the Senate in New York was actually controlled by the Republican Party.
Right.
Right. So you never got cannabis legal. You never got anything. And so they finally legalized in 21 after the hot dog company got destroyed because of COVID.
Adult use.
And
what about it?
2021.
Yeah.
What's that?
No, I just gave the adult use 2021.
Oh, adult use
2021. You guys are medical
March,
in like 2000.
Medical was before, but adult use was March of 2021. And so I remember I had a phone call with my mom. So for those of you that really were watching at home, it got legalized. And the first thing that had to happen is Governor Cuomo at the time was supposed to appoint the board.
Right.
And he just never did it. And so the law got passed in March. He got forced from office in September,
yep.
And no board was appointed in between that.
That's
one
wild.
Of the first things Governor Hochul did when she came into office was appoint the Cannabis Control Board.
In January 2022?
In September September, I think it was September of 22.
22, okay.
So, excuse me, September of 21.
Oh, right, so quickly.
Well, not quickly. The law was passed in March.
Well, right,
for her.
For her.
So, yes. Cuomo hated cannabis. The only reason he even kind of got on the side of it is because Cynthia Nixon primaried him in 2018, right? And she's Miranda from Sex and the City, if folks don't know who Cynthia Nixon is.
Yes.
She primaried Cuomo in 2018,
that.
Moved him left, and he said, okay, I guess I'll support cannabis. And then he fought with the legislature about what the law would look like. Cuomo wanted basically what we would call an MSO bill, a very big business-friendly bill.
Yeah, just
and the legislature wanted an equity-focused bill. So they never did anything. They spent 3 years fighting about it. And then in 2021, in the middle of COVID, what was Cuomo doing at that time? He was having his little Me Too issues, right?
Yeah.
And so at the depths of Cuomo's Me Too issues, basically the legislature passes the bill and says, if you feel like vetoing this, you go right ahead. He didn't veto it, but what he did do was say, I see in this law, the first thing that has to happen is I have to appoint the board. Guess what I'm not going to do? Have a good day.
Jeez.
There you go.
New York politics.
That's
and
wild.
So anyway, I had a phone call with my mom. I go off on big tangents, but so I have a phone call with my mom after they pass it, and she's like, so, you know, COVID's going to end one day, and what are you going to do, Jeffrey? Like, I used to be a tech, like, before the hot dog carts, I was a tech guy. I started the first web development company in North Carolina in 1995, or maybe the second, I don't know, something like that. And so I had a tech, I was very involved in tech, sold a few tech companies, not for a lot of money, but whatever. Then got into the hot dog business. And then my mom is like, so are you going to go back to tech? You still know all the people in the food cart business. Are you going to get back into that? And I'm like, you know, they just legalized adult use cannabis here. And although I've been big about expungement, I mean, there's videos of me teaching CLEs from like 2013 saying we got to do this expungement thing. So like when you pass your cannabis laws, it's got to include expungement,
it
right?
It should.
Yeah. And so I said, you know, I've been doing these CLEs and you really couldn't make money as a cannabis attorney in New York, but they legalized. And this was, I think, in the fall. And, you know, so Hochul had just appointed the board. I was like, you know, I'm gonna take a run at this.
Right.
And my goal for 2022 is I want to be invited to, as a speaker to one event. That was my goal in 2022.
Yeah, and now you're the featured speaker everywhere.
I mean, I don't know about that, but it's just like...
He's featured on here.
Yeah, it's just, I've been very lucky, and I do believe you do make some of your own luck. You do have to be prepared when the luck shows up. But I mean, I can point out for you...
many times.
I can point out for you a dozen times on my path where, like, I met somebody at an event, or this thing happened, or that thing happened. I mean, like, I
met somebody in an alley.
I met somebody in an alley. I mean, one of the best examples.
Is this something you guys need private time about?
No,
it's just we were going to a party. We were at MJ Unpacked.
We were cutting from one building to the other building. We met in the alley between the casino and the other casino.
Okay.
And I recognized him from LinkedIn. I was like, "You're the attorney."
And I was like, "Yes, let's go
party."
He was
like, "Yeah, what's up?" And he was, And it was literally how we first met.
I didn't know where you're going with that.
No, well, that's it's a great lead in because you're like,
a lot of alleys.
There's a lot of alleys in Atlanta.
Back to you.
So,
sorry.
Where were we? Which thing were we talking about?
People that you meet at events.
Oh, yeah, my, what's that? Oh, yeah, meeting people at events.
Yeah, meeting people at events.
So, the luck. How the luck works.
You make your own luck.
So I was at NJ Unpacked in 22. And we go down from NJ Unpacked to the in front of the Midtown Hilton, which is where it was. Now it's in an AC, but then it was at Midtown Hilton. And out in front, we're all going down there to get high because you can't get high in the ballrooms at the Hilton. There's a woman in front. Her name is Brooke, and she's holding up a sign that said basically, my husband is in jail in New Jersey for a nonviolent cannabis offense. Do any of you care? And it wasn't word for word, but that was basically the gist of it. And I, you know, I'm not really a criminal attorney, but I was very vocal about the expungement, but I'm like, I've never done any criminal cases. I've never done anything like that. And I go up to her, and I'm like, tell me more. And she starts telling me about it, and it turns out her husband is the last prisoner project guy in New Jersey.
No.
He's in jail in New Jersey, 2 to 7, for 5 pounds of cannabis in his trunk, nonviolent, the whole thing. And I don't know boo about any of this, but I say to Brooke, I'm going to get your husband out of jail. Right? Just right there. And I don't know. I'm not really a criminal attorney. I don't really know anything about anything.
Right.
I like,
well, maybe you're
going to
break about.
I'm going to get your husband out of jail.
Dude, I love this.
And then I start looking into it a little bit more. I find this incredible attorney in New Jersey. Her name is Kathleen Redpath Perez. If you need an attorney in New Jersey, go hire her. And we're talking about what's going on. And it turns out that the attorney general in New Jersey had issued a directive to all of the DAs that said, if you've sentenced people to nonviolent drug offenses with a mandatory minimum, How about you resentence him with no mandatory minimum?
Whoa.
And they get a retired judge out of retirement to manage this. The first thing that judge does is write a memo that says, this directive from the attorney general is great. It has no force of law, and I'm not doing any of it. The ACLU then sues and wins. And then we have to go DA by DA to get this done. So where is my guy convicted in New Jersey? Cape May.
Okay.
And if anybody knows anything about New Jersey, that is the most conservative part of New Jersey. Forget about
incredibly.
It. The DA there had no interest in this. So me and Kathleen talk about it, and we decide Kathleen's going to go pay him a visit. And it's basically like, look, my friend, you have to do this. You have to. And if you don't want to do it, we're going to make life really tough for you. So how about you just do it, and we just save everybody a lot of wasted time?
Yeah.
So he finally says, okay. They resentence my guy from a 2-7 to a straight 7. And guess what? He served enough time to get out. So we get him out of jail.
Okay. Good job.
Yeah.
I was worried about that for a second.
That's what. Woo!
Yeah. Where is he here today?
I don't know that he's here today.
We should have him on the show.
We can get him here. His name is Umberto. We call him Bert. His wife's name is Brooke. They're wonderful people. Brooke is a nurse down in Cape May.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to get him a cannabis license down there, but it was all corrupt, and they gave it to the mayor's son.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
I don't think that's facetious. I don't think that's exactly what happened, but, I mean, you get it.
But
that
is
what happens.
It's
something to that effect happened down there.
Yes.
I told him, move to New York. We'll get you a license here. They're not yet. I mean, they've got kids still in high school down there, so I get they're not going to move.
There's no gag order here. You can say corrupt.
I did already.
I'm just kidding.
I did already.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
I was just saying, who's using that word lately?
Yeah.
From the gag order.
Drop, yeah.
You know.
Anyway.
So you
helped out, which is fantastic. I love the fact that you're doing advocacy work as a lawyer and you're doing business work.
I got another one for you. Am I going to tell you the other one? Let me give you my other story about this. You want me to give you this? You want to move on?
No. Tell us your other story about that, but then we'll talk about business.
So expungement here in New York, part of the cannabis law is we're supposed to expunge all the cannabis crimes, right, from everybody's record.
Yes.
The lower level ones, it's happening automatically. The higher level ones, you have to go file what we call a 440 motion in the court where you were convicted, right? The liberal justices in the liberal counties, just whatever, expunged. What are the conservative judges doing? All right. So my guy that we're now appealing their denial, 20 years ago, he was convicted of dealing cannabis in Saratoga County. 20 years ago.
Right. Wow.
When he got out of jail, he finished his education. He got his master's degree cum laude he's a school psychologist, so I don't know exactly what the degree was, but the degree related to that. He's killing it in his profession, but guess what? He can't continue to rise in his profession and get other jobs because he has a conviction, right? So who is the poster child? Like the governor in her speech about this, we want to free people from these convictions to be able to live their lives. So who's the poster child for this? Okay, so we file the 440 motion in Saratoga. We were supposed to file it. The judge has to recuse himself and we have to move to Warren County. Why does the judge have to recuse himself? Because he was the DA that put my guy away 20 years ago.
Whoa.
So we have to go. We then have to go to Warren County, which is even more conservative than Saratoga County. There's a four-step process that the judge has to go through if my client, quote, meets the criteria. In their paperwork, both the judge and the DA admitted my guy meets the criteria. It's a four-step process. Step number one is you must vacate the previous conviction before you do anything else. You can do some other things, but first you must vacate. Mm-hmm. This judge skips steps 1, 2, 3, and 4. He goes straight to what we call the interest of justice analysis. He says, there's no interest in justice in me doing anything here. Go jump in a lake. So now we're appealing that to the third department here in New York because that's not how it's done. The judge can't make up his own procedure when the law says, here's the four steps you got to take.
You know what I love about you?
Tell me.
You bring the same, I mean, the passion for advocacy as a lawyer is fantastic, but you're also a business lawyer.
Yeah.
And you're doing both.
Yeah.
And you do both passionately.
Yeah.
And that is such an important aspect.
We got to pay rent and buy food. I can't be doing the advocacy work if I'm not paying rent and buy food.
No, but you know, that's...
Well, no, it's true.
No, it's true.
I mean, come on.
It's true.
And that's what makes the whole cannabis movement, the cannabis history, the cannabis policy, the cannabis culture. That's one of the things that makes it special is there's this unique combination of, it's a business, and it's a commodity, and there's all these products and it's all retail and all these, they're interesting and they're important and they're going to happen. But there's also this whole history of 50 to 70 years of stuff that's happened that needs to be unraveled and dealt with. And to have somebody with your level of knowledge and your expertise that is doing both and both with such passion, it's just, I love it.
Well, so let's tell it what it is. Look.
I mean, this is a business show and you haven't even got into promoting your own business law aspects of it, you know, which you,
look, here's
that's what we try to do. No, but I love
you.
That.
I get you. Here's what matters to me. Look,
I love to see guys
you
succeed.
I'm a white dude. My father was a doctor. I didn't want for anything my whole life. Right. I am morally obligated to do for those that can't, to do for those that our society has fucked. Right. I am morally obligated to do that. And I think if more people that kind of had my upbringing and the opportunities that I had would think about that,
yeah,
and do the things that are right by our society, we'd just be in a better place, right? So that's why I do this.
You know,
right?
I agree with you. I'm not sure if we're morally obligated, but I think it does make you more than an animal.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
That's fair.
It makes you human.
That's fair.
You know, because it makes you better.
And we can respectfully disagree. I think I'm morally obligated. That's fine.
No. But in my subjective interpretation of how you led your life. Yeah. Well, you could lead your life like an animal, do what Mother Nature calls us to do, just be animals, or you could be human.
Yeah.
Or you could be better.
I'm with that.
You know, and so that's kind of, so we both agree with
better
that.
Better's a tough word. Just be right by your fellow humans. Right. Be right by your fellow travelers, right? That's all.
Right.
So business-wise, you're helping people get open. You're doing all kinds of sites.
That's one of them right there.
That's one of your clients over
there.
Yeah. So tell us about your business law aspects of it.
Yeah, so I got hundreds of clients here in New York. I mean, it's what I've
kind
wanted
of a
to
big
do.
Deal.
Look,
I told you should be on that.
Look, it's what I want. I've been getting high since Reagan. This was my goal, right?
Yeah.
Was to be able to pay rent and buy food, doing something that I care about and that I like. Most people, again, back to being, and look, I'll use the word being privileged to be able to do that, right?
Yeah.
How many people can really do what they like in life and also have an impact?
Right.
And so I'm incredibly blessed. And I'm going to prosecute that case every day I wake up, right? That's what it is. So the what's going on?
Operating with purpose.
Go ahead.
Operating with purpose. Passion and purpose.
So what's going on here in New York right now is, unfortunately, they just decapitated our regulator. There was the most incredible split.
That happened so fast, too.
Yeah.
It was like all of a sudden, what? Such and such is out.
It was an incredible split screen moment where if you'd had the split screens, on one you had Chris Alexander, who I like a lot, and who is one of the biggest stalwarts for equity in the state. On one screen, he was at the meeting giving out licenses. And on the other screen, like I think literally across town at another press conference, the governor's firing him, right? And so, look, I do get why she did that, right? We got 120 stores after 3 years, and somebody, the governor's not getting her tax revenue, and she's upset. I get it. There was nobody that was a bigger advocate for equity in the state than Chris. I do think they should have put him on the board, not in the office. One of my biggest lines is if you're a fish, if they measure you by how well you climb a tree, if you're a fish, you're never going to do very well, right?
Okay.
He needed to be on the board, right? He needed to be out there barnstorming the state,
right?
Talking about equity,
right?
Being the observer of the regs that the office is creating, and then saying, well, I think you need to fix this, and if you don't, I'm going to vote your regs down. The office needs someone that has been in, or at least understands state government and has run or been the assistant person at a 300-person office. It's just, state government is its own beast.
Right.
And if you've not run an office, like trying to go from 0 to 300 of what's going to be the most watched office in the state.
Truth.
Learning that on the job is just, you're going to be judged, you're going to be a fish being judged climbing a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be tough. If they had put Mr. Alexander on the board, I think he would have killed it.
Right.
Right. I do think the board has been a little not oversight, has not done quite enough oversight. I think he would have been an amazing oversight person on that board. He really gets it. He was one of the champions that put it through. I just wish they'd put him in a position that he really, really could have crushed it. And just trying to stand up an office where you've never been in state government running an office or being the assistant director of an office.
Right.
Definition
of
trial by fire.
It's just tough.
Like, yeah.
It's really tough. And you're going to have to be really, really lucky to get it right, no matter how smart or how good you are. And it's just, it came up craps on this one, right?
So what's going to happen next? I mean, so they're going to issue more licenses?
How's well, in theory, there, you know, there's a board meeting next week on Tuesday. I'm sure they'll be giving out more licenses, but obviously we need a new director at OCM. I think most, if not all, the board members' terms are up this fall, right? Remember we talked about Hochul appointed them
right
in 21. I believe the terms are all 3 years, so they're all coming up now.
You should be on that board.
I don't think so.
Why not?
I think they should.
They need your level of knowledge and expertise.
So look, I'm happy to talk to them.
Call spade a spade.
I'm happy to talk to them. I go to all the board meetings and speak in my 2 minutes and say my piece
right
about what I think it is they ought to do. But I just, you know, this is the thing where they say people, oh, you ought to run for office. And it's like, I can be much more effective doing what I'm doing.
Mm.
And I think I can be much more effective doing what I'm doing respectfully
that.
Than being on a board with five other people and being the lone insane vote for right. everything that comes up, right? I mean, just the other board members will look at me like, my God, did you really have to put him here?
Yes.
How do we get him off of here?
Or you like, can just beat them in the head until they get
just,
it right.
Look. It's tough. Being on those boards is tough. You've got everybody coming. I don't envy them, and right. I don't want that job, right? It's just you're never going to win because cannabis is still illegal federally and is going to be a mess no matter what we do. I mean, it's an illegal – let's face it, right? People like to say – my clients like to say they're part of the Hoffman crime family because like what that. We're doing is all illegal, right?
What?
It's all what we're doing is all illegal, right? And you know, so like I tell my clients, I've got, like I said, hundreds of them at this point. And like whenever I'm together with them, I say to one to the other, it's like, you know, you guys are related, right? And they're like, how are we related? I'm like, through me, you're part of the Hoffman crime family, right?
Oh, so
it's
just great.
It's good stuff. And one day, hopefully, the feds will legalize it. It'll be after the Republicans get control of the Senate again and get rid of the filibuster because they want something that they can't get with the filibuster. So the Democrats got rid of it first for all judges but the Supreme Court. The Republicans came back and said, okay, when we get control, it's going to be including the Supreme Court. That's how Trump got all three of his guys, right? I do think when the Republican Party comes back into power in the Senate, they're going to get rid of the filibuster. If I had to bet on something, it's going to be to make abortion illegal. We don't have to get into the politics of that, but I do think that's what they want. And the only way they get
that
is
to get...
In
New York?
Huh?
No, federally.
Federally.
The only way they get that is to get rid of the filibuster. And they've got the votes if they get rid of the filibuster to do it, 100%. So I think at some point the Republican Party will get rid of the filibuster entirely in the Senate.
Right.
And then once the Democrats come back into power, if we ever have another election after that, then they will legalize cannabis because they will no longer need 60 votes, a cloture vote, to do it. They'll just need 51 or 50 if they have the presidency as well, which they'll need because it'll be vetoed if the Republicans are president. Right, yeah.
So we all know it's going to go Schedule 3 here this year.
It's the worst thing that could happen.
And
by far.
I agree with you. I have my own theories.
Your theory.
No, I want to
hear my theory.
Well, I want to hear your theory because I talk too much on my show.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you. What do you think the problem is with going Schedule 3?
So here's the thing. And everybody gets, this is not me saying I'm going to go do this, but I'm the equity guy. I'm on our side. I would never do this. But, like, the best job, if they do rescheduling, is the general counsel of Pfizer and the general counsel of CVS and the general counsel of Lilly. Here's what's going to happen if they're smart. And I don't know them personally. I mean, and maybe they're not thinking about this, and maybe I shouldn't say it, but why not? Because this is maybe how we stop the rescheduling. And I get the thing about 280E. Everybody wants 280 to go away. There's an easier way for that. Congress passes a law and we're done, right? That's the good way. What rescheduling does, all right. Right now, Pfizer and Lilly and CVS cannot sue anybody about cannabis because they have no standing. They are not damaged. It's an illegal product. They can't sell it. The moment it goes Schedule 3, they are now damaged, right?
Because they're losing money.
Because they are losing money. The only people that will be authorized under Schedule 3 to do cannabis in the United States are people with pharmaceutical licenses,
right.
Pfizer, CVS, et cetera, et cetera. The moment that happens, if I'm the GC of Pfizer, I sue every state in the union which has an illegal state-run cannabis program because I now have standing. I'm damaged. You states are enabling all of these illegal businesses to take money out of my pocket, my being CVS and Pfizer and all these other folks. They now have standing to sue.
I see how that could happen.
It's a slam dunk, right? And it's just, I hope they don't do it, but if I was the Devs, it would be over.
Yeah, but go ahead. You're going to come into the, you know, the politics and that weird stuff that happens in the judiciary, where you're going to have all these individuals from the state licensed medical programs rise up with their lawyers and their attorneys.
It's a loser.
And their claims.
I've looked at this. I'm an attorney, sir. I've looked at this. It's a loser. It's a loser all day of the week.
But legally speaking, Pfizer and them might be right, but you know, we don't know what the judiciary will do.
Well, hopefully they'll follow the law. Because if they don't, we have a bigger problem. And we got plenty of judges not following the law in this country.
Okay.
But my hope is they follow the law, even though it would work against me. And the law is, they're now damaged. All of these state-run cannabis programs are illegal. 100%. I mean, and that's why it's a Hoffman crime family, because this is all illegal. Okay. Right? They now have standing to sue. They are damaged. I mean, sir, I'm a lawyer. This is how this works. Yep. They now have standing to sue. Yeah, they now have standing to sue, and they're right. So for all the state medical people and the state people that want to come out and say, oh, woe is us. Look at all the damage you're going to do to us. Well.
But they couldn't touch an adult use cannabis program in California, for example.
Of course they could. But it's not just medical, sir. No, sir. It's everything.
Yeah.
The adult use and the medical. They are illegally selling cannabis, full stop.
That is now considered the same as a pharmaceutical that can only be distributed by a
pharmaceutical company.
Correct. You're selling
steroids. You're at the gym selling steroids.
I see the argument.
Yeah.
It's not just an argument, sir. It's the winning argument. And I hate it. That's why we got to stop this. And I hate it for all the people that want it because of the 280E.
Just to save some tax money.
Right?
Yeah.
And I hope that if it does go through, that Pfizer is either not smart enough or chooses not to. But I'm just telling you, this is their roadmap if we get rescheduling. Shut it all down because we are now damaged. And if your illegal medical and adult use dispensaries want to go get pharmaceutical licenses, then fine. Go get them. You can then be open.
Right.
How much problems are the equity folks having just being open?
Just getting licenses.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to get them to go get pharmaceutical licenses and employ a pharmacist at their stores?
Right.
How's that working for you, Richie? Not going to work, is it? No.
Further denying people that equity that they deserve.
There we go. So that's what I think. If the pharmaceutical industry is smart and greedy,
which they are,
which they probably are,
they
might stay out of it. But so let's just assume
they want to bet on it.
But let's just
how much?
Well, let's just have a bet right here. I bet $5 they stay out of it. Well, let me get something.
I bet you $1,000 they do it.
Okay, let's make it fun. Okay,
that's pretty good odds.
So what we got to put a time?
No, he's got to say the $1,000 too. Right? I mean, it's not 500 versus 1,000, my friend.
If the pharmaceutical companies do get involved, I will streak Central Park. If they don't get involved by 2028, you will streak Central Park.
So here's the thing. You need to go and talk to the people that I know that I went to college with. Who is the first guy with his pants off at parties?
Okay.
That's not really like me streaking at Central Park.
That's not a loss. Yeah.
But I mean, I'll just go do that. You want to go do that today? I mean, come on.
So,
you know?
Well, we got to make it more challenging for him.
Yeah.
So we got to put a time on they have to act. Because it is going to go Schedule 3 and all hell's going to break loose.
So look, and it's like, what happens is it a push if they just don't get Schedule 3? Because this all is only happening because of Biden, who's like lied to us about everything related to cannabis. And I voted for the dude. I mean, you know, what can I tell you? It's not clear to me that he's going to win in November.
You should have your show on CNN.
That'd be interesting.
I'd watch.
I mean, maybe I'd get good ratings, but believe me, they don't want me.
I don't know what Biden, who knows if Biden even knows what he's doing, but his understanding of cannabis.
No, he does know what he's doing. He's lied to us, though. Like, look, this is my other thing. There's very few powers on planet Earth that one person has that is unreviewable by anyone, period, full stop, right? One of them happens to be the federal pardon power of the President of the United States of America.
Okay.
Full stop. The president says, I pardon you. Nobody reviews it. Nobody questions it. We're done here.
He could pardon a lot of people.
Tomorrow, today, last week, the first day he was in office, Biden could have said, get me the names of every cannabis. I order the attorney general to get me the names of every cannabis prisoner, nonviolent cannabis prisoner federally in the United States of America. He gets a list of the names. He says, this is a nice list. I pardon you all, Joseph Biden. And we're done here.
And everyone.
And I quit screaming about it.
And anyone who was ever convicted, he can pardon them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I thought you meant current prison art, but yeah.
No, current.
All of it. Every cannabis conviction in the history of the United States.
Right. That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
It's totally in his power to do.
If you're listening, anyone who's connected to the Biden campaign, have them call Mr. Hoffman so he can set you straight on cannabis policy at the federal level.
I mean,
because this man has more of these nuances perfectly articulatable.
Yeah,
what's the word there?
The clearest, like, there's at least like six plans here.
Yeah, no, you know exactly what you're talking about. Your mind's firing on all cylinders, and you have all this like categorized and laid out perfectly. What's that? Articulatable? What's the word there?
Articulated?
Articulable. The ability to
articulable.
Articulable. Right?
Is that a word?
I don't know. Well,
sounds good enough to me.
That's why I miss George Bush, because we used to be able to make up words.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, saying no, but
can't get fooled again.
The language needs to evolve.
Fool me once. Yeah. No, that's my favorite. So, you know which one I'm talking about, too, right? That was the greatest one ever. Can't get fooled again.
So
oh my
check
God.
It out.
Go ahead.
So we're going to be back with Mr. Hoffman tomorrow. What kind of people, you know, because we got to, I want to know what kind of people are here. Like, what do you see? Because
so
you know
this
New York.
Show, it's a little bit more everybody.
Okay.
So the neat thing about cannabis shows is you typically get a certain kind of crowd at each show.
Right.
So, like, we just had the Revelry Grower Showcase up in Hudson just a few days ago. That is a very, very core industry event. Like, if you're not a licensee or something like that, you're not going to be able to go to that event. They do curate who goes to that event. So that's, like, at the most restrictive. MJ Unpacked is another one where they really want, you know, people that are really focused in the industry. This show at the Javits, so, is a little bit more for everybody. If you're just interested in cannabis and want to learn more and see who the players are and what's going on, this is a great show. If you're a licensee like Richie and you want to come see some service providers and, you know, who's growing the best weed and whatever's going on, you want to see the Long Island cannabis folks if you're out on Long Island because none of the municipalities out there will let you sue. This is more of a general interest show focused on cannabis.
Well, would you do us a favor as you're walking around for the next 2 days, and we'll grab you again tomorrow.
Sure.
As if you meet anybody out there who's interesting that has great content that we can get out to the thousands of people.
Yeah, Boost 635. I'll send you over.
Send them over and say,
I mean,
hey.
You talk to a card. I mean, talk to Richie. I'm going to go do some emails right now. Your next thing should be talking to Richie. Richie is a card here in New York. He's a licensee. He's looking for a partner to partner with for his store.
Right.
Probably somebody that's had some experience in regulated cannabis because Richie was arrested and convicted for cannabis, but that's how he got the first license. No, come over here. Come over here.
No, we'll swap you out.
Dude, you want to be doing this? This is what you got to
do. Swap you out. We'll just do a brief intro. Right, good, yeah. Wait, okay. I won't drill you.
Thank you.
There's
No, not at all.
We're on your side here.
Yeah, we're on your side.
Any friend.
There he
is. We'll give you 5 minutes here. You know, any friend, any client of Mr. Hoffman is a friend of ours. The man is doing great work, and he's practicing law, and he's doing business, and it's fantastic. And you can be proud that he's your attorney, because you can have any attorney, and you can pay anyone. But for every
dollar. You got that guy in your corner.
For every dollar you give him, a penny or two, don't know how much, goes into helping other humans and helping advocacy in the cannabis industry. So those are the kind of business attorneys in cannabis that we love to support at Mita. So kudos to you for picking him. And tell the audience about yourself.
Congrats on the license.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And, yes, I am very fortunate.
Get a little closer.
Move the mic a little. There you go.
All right. I'm sorry about that.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're good?
Good.
Okay. I am definitely, absolutely very, very fortunate to have met Jeffrey, because I have a couple of other attorneys, you know, going into this industry, and it wasn't really lining up with what I needed in this industry. And then when I came across Jeffrey, any question that I had.
So you got a license, a retail license?
Yes. I have a retail cannabis license.
They're called a card.
Yep.
But card. C-U-A-R-D.
That's correct.
Is it C-U-A or C-A-U?
C-A-U-R-D. It's a card license.
Right.
And my original region that I was awarded by the state, and thank you very much, state, for awarding me, it was Manhattan.
Okay.
And then it was amended just recently, I think in April, it came into effect that now I can go anywhere.
Anywhere in the state of New York.
New York. Yeah,
that is state, awesome. Yeah.
So one retail license.
Yes.
And you're looking for a partner to help you.
Yeah, well, what I'm looking for is it's a partner that has, who's an expert, that has experience, that has a passion, you know, like Jeffrey. I mean, where I'm at today and the way things just unfolded, it's a story and a half in itself. But let me tell you, having Jeffrey, you know, on my team and finding him really put me in the right direction, because all the attorneys I deal with, we do business. The difference with Jeffrey is I see the passion in Jeffrey. He actually, I call him my older brother, because that's exactly how I feel in this. You feel he's got your back 100%. You know, he does have a crazy passion for this. This is his calling. And having him on my team right now, and it's really, it takes it to the next level.
So what can our audience out there help you find? You're looking for an investor with expertise. I mean, there's lots of retailers across the United States that have a certain, 10, 15 years of expertise tops.
Yep.
But that have some expertise, and you need one with also investment capital and expertise.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And you know, you have your building identified yet in Manhattan?
No, I do not.
Well,
I do
doesn't have to be in Manhattan now. He could be anywhere in the state of New York.
Oh, but yeah. Wouldn't it be better to be Manhattan?
That was my backyard. You know, I was born and raised in Brooklyn. I worked in Manhattan for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And that's my backyard. But I'm open, you know, if a partner has a better model and it makes sense, the right location.
Is zoning pretty tough for these things?
So, depending where.
Depending on, the jurisdiction. The jurisdictions. Yeah. But I guess our jurisdictions, in Arizona, for example, they crack down, and a lot of California, depends on the city, the city or the town. Is it kind of the same thing here in New York, where the zoning is all local and some states, some jurisdictions are tough and some are lenient?
I'll do the best to answer that from what I know. It's like Long Island, I guess, would have that more of that issue. We deal with the community board in Manhattan, from what I know.
So the Long Island, it's difficult.
Island has is there still only one dispensary in all of
one or two?
Yeah, there's
I think Happy Days is one of them.
Yeah.
I love that name, by the way. That is such an awesome name.
Long Island's long.
Right.
Long Island's long. And I know the guy that helps with some of the back end payments for those, they run the payment. Those guys are killing it. You're talking $7 million a month, or like $8 million a month. Ridiculous.
But that's because of the local zoning.
Well, local zoning, because there's only two in all of Long Island. You know what I mean? Manhattan here, like, you have the population density in one block of some,
Manhattan actually is, it's about 12 miles up and down.
Yeah.
And then it's about 2.5 miles at its widest point.
Right.
So, and then you see how much.
But it's population density. You could have a pot shop on every block. You know what I mean? And they'll all make money, regardless.
It looks that way. But then again, I can't judge a book by.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's a deli. You know what I mean? People got to eat. It's a consumable. That's the thing with it.
People shouldn't be worried about competition.
Yeah,
it'll work itself out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's one of the things that I found, and there are business owners that might say, I don't want the licenses, so I don't want competition. But in the end, you got to remember that has a really negative impact upon humanity and the systems and the governments that we have. If you have extreme limited licensing and licensing caps, and I know it's probably tough to tell you as a license holder to support the issuance of other licenses.
Oh, no, but I'm open to it. I'm open to a good, fair, for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to play.
Well, that's good.
Why
you're a good
wouldn't
man.
Everybody play?
Yeah, I've looked into the eyes of the devil, and you're not him.
Gosh.
No, because the devil will look back at you and say, I'm going to do whatever is best for me, period, no matter what. And I met a lot of those guys, and I actually helped train and educate a lot of those guys who asked me what they could possibly do. You know, and just because somebody tells you what you could possibly do doesn't mean you should do it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's good to understand what is possible. And those guys are really protected. They hire lobbyists. They try to manipulate behind the scenes. They try to control the political process, the regulatory process. Florida is a fucking mess.
It's the whole state of Florida.
No, I mean, the whole, even that initiative, I mean.
Yeah.
Anyways, we need to get to that. But so, you know, you're a good guy. How do people get in touch with you? He's a good guy.
Well, the way right now to get in touch with me, basically, you can reach me at 1-866 NY1 weed.
Yeah.
866 NY1 weed.
NY1 weed.
I got some people I could introduce you to. Yeah. And we'll talk about that offline and connect them with you. And it's been a pleasure meeting you. You're the first New York license holder that I've actually met.
Really?
Actually, that's not true. I've jam-packed. I met a bunch. But I'm just getting to know you, New York, right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what I'm here for. And this is why we do this on the podcast, so people can meet people, you know, and they can learn as I learn. Because I know a lot of states. I know a lot of stuff. I know some different countries. I know more about Colombian cannabis than probably anybody in this room. But what the hell? It's all so different every place.
Everywhere you go.
We should do a podcast in Colombia. But it's been a pleasure meeting you.
Oh, thank you very much for the opportunity. We'll keep talking
after we turn off the cameras.
And, the other thing I want to tell you.
Yeah, sure.
You heard of, about the alcohol device, like a breathalyzer.
The breathalyzer.
So, you know, if you've been drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I can tell you if you've been drinking.
We have one for him on the show because we got to make sure that he's not.
Yeah, but, you know, there's nothing for marijuana, though, right?
Right, right.
I invented a device that will take care of that issue.
Wait, you breathe into it?
And not only that, though, but I marketed it myself where it would actually cost the consumer zero, right? And
this is how
it works. I'm going to ask you three simple questions.
Ah.
They're second grade questions.
Okay.
Okay. The only thing you need to do is just answer it without any hesitation.
Okay, let's do it.
You with me?
I'm excited.
Oh, okay, all right. Let's do this.
I think like a child, so this is good.
It's easy. Ready? But remember, you have to answer it quickly with no hesitation.
Blue.
Okay. Spell stop.
Blue.
No, spell.
S-T-O-P.
Spell shop.
No, yellow.
S-H-O-P.
What do you do to green light?
Wait.
Green light? You go.
Stop. No.
Do me again. I was making a Monty Python joke.
All right, ready?
Did you see Monty Python?
Yeah,
Holy Grail? Blue, absolutely. Yellow. No.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay, that went over my head.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
All right, ready?
Just go ahead.
Say 10 times as quick as you can, but without no hesitations. Ready, set, go.
Say 10 times as quickly as you can.
Yes, yeah, right, so no, say 10 times.
10, 10.
Okay. Well, I got to figure this out. Say 10 times as quickly as you can. 10, 10. 10, 10.
You can go faster.
What is aluminum foil made out of?
10. Foil. Aluminum.
All right. Yeah. But you hesitated on that one, too. Okay. You guys are catching on to me.
You're supposed to say tin.
That's what most people say.
Because it'd be 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. What do you say? Tin. You know, like,
10, 10, 10. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, here's another one. Ready?
Well, here's the thing is that you told me that it was a test and it's breathalyzer stuff. So I immediately think I'm talking to a cop. So, I'm on guard. You know what I'm saying?
His safety brain is working.
Ted, yes, sir.
I like that piece, by the way. I know exactly where you got that piece at.
Yeah.
I know exactly where you got that piece at.
You too.
I know exactly where you got it at.
Oh, like, what, the tattoo place?
No, it's on your arm.
Oh, okay. I like this guy. He's a comedian.
The best medicine is laughter.
Yeah.
And a nice fat joint always aids.
You know, look, I'm a literal guy. I'm all about objectivity. You know, if I wanted to spin, I'd run for president of the United States.
You got my vote.
All right. I just want truth. That's an apple. Yeah. It's not a weapon and it's not a meal. It's an apple. So, but it could be both.
Yes.
You know, Biden would say it's a meal. Trump would say it's a weapon, and they'd both be right. That's why I need CNN to say it's a fucking apple.
Mm.
But CNN's around saying it's a meal, not a weapon, sir. But it's both. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. That's why I have a war. I am at war with the media.
When you say weapon,
it can be a weapon. You throw it at somebody.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, you'd have to really kill. That would. I mean,
you want to try?
Technically, the table's a weapon. You know,
right?
Actually, I thought you guys would have thrown this at me.
But you know what I'm saying?
The joke went
no,
bad.
You know, and this, if you guys ever want to know, and we'll
technically
we'll,
everything is a weapon.
No, well, but here's the thing. This
your
is
your phone is a weapon.
There's nothing wrong with the American democracy.
I seen that commercial. That was funny.
There's nothing wrong with American democracy. Communists and fascists have a right to run for office. The problem with American democracy is when the media in the fourth state starts favoring one over the other and doesn't let us choose.
Mm.
That's the problem with the, that's why everybody senses there's something wrong right now.
Everybody's picking sides.
Saying? And they present the apple as a meal and not a weapon or the other thousand things it could be. You know, that's not the media's job to determine for us what of the options it is. Just tell us what's available on the table, the thousand things that it could be. And that's why everybody senses something's wrong right now. And it's the origins of the concept of stealing the election, too. All these Republicans think that the election was stolen because people were telling them that the apple is a meal. And when this guy's over here saying it's a weapon, we say, you know, just tell us it's a weapon and a meal and let us decide. Don't tell us that it's a meal. You're the fucking media. You see what I'm saying? It's about
he didn't smoke any weed today either. This is just Dimitri. So
I get excited about that. No, because you know, you see it happening all the time. And it's tragic. And I have all these really, really smart academics, you know, historians, you know, university professors, lawyers, and they're just being, they're not paying that close of attention because they're too busy over here working, and it's just passing them by. But they've said something wrong.
You know what? Put them through the paying attention test. It works like this. Ready?
Okay, go ahead.
You're driving a yellow school bus. The first stop, you pick up five kids. Second stop, you pick up three kids. Third stop, you pick up three more kids.
Okay.
You with me so far?
Right.
You guys paying attention?
Got 11 kids.
As the driver's driving to school, road gets a little bumpy, two of the kids get sick. So the bus driver has to drop two of the kids off. As the bus driver continues his route to school, he pulls into the parking lot, and the principal comes out running, screaming and yelling. Driver stops, opens the door. Principal says, "How old are you?" to the bus driver. Do you guys know how old the bus driver is?
No.
No?
No idea.
You guys weren't paying attention?
Did you say at the beginning? You didn't say how old the bus driver was.
No.
Oh, okay.
You were so warm. I thought you were getting really hot.
No, so.
Would you like me to repeat?
Can you rewind the tape?
Hold on.
Can you rewind
yes,
the
what?
Tape?
Yes, he can.
Hold on.
He can,
but no. Right, no. Yes.
Right,
no. How old are you?
How old is the bus driver? Is the question.
I don't think that was discussed.
All right, let me.
We don't know.
All right, ready? I'm going to repeat.
Pay close attention. Eric.
All right, everybody paying extra close attention right now?
This guy's trying to take my wallet, Eric. Help me out.
Yeah, I am so broke, I can't even afford to pay attention. All right, let me repeat it. Ready?
Remember, this apple is also a weapon.
Oh, sugar. Hold on. Let me stand over there.
No.
All right, ready? Pay attention. Ready? You are driving a yellow school bus.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. That's not what you said.
It's on video. Rewind it, Eric.
He said you are a bus
driver? You are driving a yellow school bus. Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to have to clip that in later on.
Okay. He got us both. So with that, we're going to stop hosting the show, and we're going to let him host the rest of the shows. And our friend here will be back with another episode of Meet Unshackled.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, the pleasure is mine, my friend.
Oh, wait, what am I saying?
You're right.
All right, thanks, Eric.
At Neurovine, we've developed a hydroponic nutrient dosing system called the Aurora. It's advanced, easy to use, and competitively priced. The Aurora can be used in both small and large-scale facilities and works great for recirculating and drain-to-waste systems. We've got clients saving 2 to 3 hours of labor every day and getting 15% increases in their yield. You can control the Aurora directly from your smartphone or computer so you can grow on vacation. Automation is the future of agriculture, and Neurovine is the future of automation.
Neurovine City, boy. Neurovine City.
Loving the system, man. Loving the system. Happy customer right here. This is a stand-up machine. This is something else.
When they're hungry, they eat. I don't have to come out here daily to look at my phone and make sure it's doing the right thing. I love it.
Having the level of precision from the peristaltic pumps, which can be down to the milliliter, is awesome. By having such resolution and precision, we can also push the envelope of growth, and that has really helped us.
I think the system is more modular than other products. It's also, I think, a better value in general. The software that you get in the cloud and the physical hardware, it's a really effective system.
long, so I don't think that's going to be good.
Plants are growing huge. The system really gives it full potential.
In this business, this takes the cake. I love everything about it. I mean, hands down, I love everything about it. And the results are, above and beyond what I expect,
It's a pleasure to be working with you, man.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.